So 2 weeks ago, I preached the first part of this message, and I focused on Father's love. Today, I want to focus on the Sons of God part of it. First John chapter 3, verse 1 says, in the New Living Translation, "See how very much our Father loves us, for He calls us His children." That's what we are. The people who belong to this world don't recognize we're God's children because they don't know Him. I want to have us think this morning. Again, I'm not going to go into this a lot. We've talked about this, and what we think this morning about the whole thing of being sons has a lot to do with who our Father was or is. And we've gotten concepts of sonship from that. But it's important that we go to the Scriptures and to God Himself and see what these concepts are supposed to be. So, what does it really mean to be a son? And when I use this word, when John used this word sons, he used the word sons, but it actually has the meaning of children. He's not only talking about male offspring, he's talking about female. But when God talks about it, he talks about all of His children as sons, in a general sense. But what does it mean to be a son, or to be sons? We belong. We have identity. We have value. We have genetics. We have a lot of things that come to us because we are sons. We have inheritance, whatever that might be. And I asked this question back when I preached the other message, who's your daddy? Whose son are you? You know, you can be a son of God, or you can be a son of the devil. We'll look at that a little bit. So we have to ask ourselves, the way we become sons is what? What is the means by which we become sons? By birth. We're either born as a son or we're adopted into the family. And we have both of those present in the matter of being God's sons. We are born again of the Spirit, and we also are adopted into the family. Now, the Scripture talks about differences between slaves and sons. And I noticed something that I never noticed before when we sang Jesus Christ is all I need. The one verse says, He will not His servant leave. Sorry, songwriter. He will not His son leave. There's a lot of difference. And how we I'm not belittling the fact that we are servants, but we have to understand the reality that as God's children, we are sons, and we have available to us everything that the Father possesses. And if we live as servants and we're only taking crumbs from the table rather than living in the possessions that He's given to us, there's a problem. There's a big difference between this whole thing of being a son or being a slave or a servant. What would you feel like if your son was continually responding to you as a slave to his master? How would that feel? Wouldn't feel very good, would it? It's interesting, the prodigal son, he thought that he came up with this plan that he would go back to his father and be a servant. And his father says, "No, no way. You're my son. You're not a servant. You're not going to get treated like a servant. You're not going to live like a servant. You're not going to have the identity of a servant. Take those grimy, slimy garments off, and here's a robe. You are my son." And we, as God's people, need to learn to live as sons. Sons serve their fathers, when there's a love relationship, obviously, in a total different way than slaves serve their masters. And our lesson today actually points to that reality, because Paul basically told Philemon that when Onesimus would return, he would serve Philemon in a total different way than he had ever served him before, because now they were going to be brothers. He was not going to serve him as a slave. He was going to serve him as a brother, because they were both sons of God. And so he implores Philemon to treat him as a brother, as a fellow son. This whole thing, there's so much here, and I'm not going to be able to get into all of it. There's something very interesting that I found in studying for this. The Roman adoption was totally different than our adoptions are today. The Jews did not have adoption. So when Paul refers to us as being adopted into the family, it has no reference to the Jewish community. The Jews, they had, God had designed a system for them so that if parents died, family members were in place to take over. If your brother died, you were responsible to take care of his family and raise them up. Take care of his wife, take care of his possessions, all that kind of thing. In Roman culture, it was totally different. But here's the difference, one of the main differences between Roman adoption and our adoptions. Most of our adoptions come as little children. The Roman adoptions were totally different. In Rome, what happened there was a family of means did not have a son to carry on the family name. And so they would go to a family that had a number of sons, and maybe that family did not have the means to be able to give their sons a lot, and they would ask to adopt one of those sons. And it actually blessed both families. When the Romans adopted that son, it was very seldom that it was a daughter, it was almost always a son. That son immediately got full rights to the family. He became part owner in all of the businesses. He became part of the inheritance immediately, not when the father died. He got part of the possessions. He got the family name. He got the identity, his old, any debts. Anything in his past was gone. Seeing some pictures there? Some light bulbs coming on? that son could never be disowned. You take that and do what you want with it. That was the Roman adoption. So that's something for us to think about. Now, I want us to think about a number of things here about sonship. One of the things that I see as a beauty here is that sons are led by the Father. One of the things we talked about in relation to Philemon and Onesimus and Paul was that whole thing of relationships. How do you build relationships? How do you make them productive and useful? And Paul talked about the fact that Philemon was one, when he showed up, he left the saints with a feeling of being rested, refreshed. And I asked this question, I made this contrast in our class. How many people do you know that when they show up, you know that they are going to leave and you are going to feel drained, wiped out? When the Father leads us, we come away refreshed, strengthened. We are never drained. And I find this verse in Romans very fascinating. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I find it fascinating on a couple levels. One is, he starts out by saying, everybody that's led by the Spirit of God is a son of God. He doesn't start out by saying sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. No, he puts it the other way. Everybody that's led by the Spirit of God is the son of God. So what he's saying is, this is part of family identity. This is who we are. As sons, we have the Father, we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the Lord Jesus Christ. They are part of our family. A very important part of our family. And since the Holy Spirit is the teacher and the guide in the family, He's the one that leads God's sons. He's the one that guides. He's the one that teaches. Sons are led by the Father. This is interesting as well. Creation is longing for the sons of God to be seen, or as Romans 8 here says, manifested. The whole creation is groaning, wanting to see the sons of God manifested or on display. Why do you suppose that creation is longing for that? Something you can think about. I just find it fascinating that all that God has created, all that He has made, is looking for this one thing. The sons of God to be manifested. To be seen. To be displayed. Why? Why do you think that is? I think part of it is because it's through the sons of God that the Father is displayed. We saw that with Jesus. Remember? Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Shouldn't we be able to say that also? As sons? Didn't Paul say that? Follow me as I follow Christ. If you watch me, you should see the Father. You should see Jesus. I think that's important for us. Creation is longing for that. deal with my daddy. You remember when you were young and your daddy was a great big guy in your mind and somebody said something and you said, well, my daddy's bigger than your daddy. My daddy's stronger than your daddy. You know what? My daddy is bigger. And my daddy is stronger. And my daddy is smarter. And you know what? You're not going to have to deal with me. You're going to have to deal with my daddy. Because he's got my back. He's got me covered. So he's saying, be blameless. Be harmless. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. I think we often do disservice to this verse. We try to say how we should do this and do this and do this. He's talking about being. And he's talking about what happens as the result of us being sons. We live our lives, people can come against us, but our daddy's got our back. And you and I, Jude, verses 24, he will present us faultless before the throne with exceeding glory. Because you're blameless, because you're harmless, because you're without rebuke? No, because Jesus is. And so he's saying, you be this, because you're sons of God. And so when Jesus was beaten and accused and smitten and treated the way he was, God had his back. And even though he was rebuked, even though he was accused, none of it stuck. It couldn't. You know, when Peter talks about this, he says, when you're accused for righteousness' sake, when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, you're sons. You're getting this because of who you are. Don't get all upset. Your daddy's got your back. That's one of the things of a good father-son relationship. Your daddy has your back. Deal with my daddy. Christ brings many sons into glory. Hebrews talks about this. Chapter 2, verse 10. Became him, that's talking about Christ, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. He's bringing many sons to glory. You and I are not the only sons. There's many, many, many sons. We sing that song with the kids, Father Abraham had many sons. You know, I'm one of them, so are you. It's a good thing for us to remind ourselves of that with our Father. He has brought many sons into glory. We're a part of a very large family. Just yesterday, I was on a Zoom call with the Klein Sassers and the work over there in Athens. And there was an Afghan man that was giving his testimony. Very interesting. Very interesting. A son of God. My brother. Never knew him. Never met him. But I was able to hear his testimony, ask him some questions, learn some things from him. Many sons to glory. Sons are greatly loved. I would say this. As a son, I think one of the things that we always underestimate, that we never fully understand, is how much we are loved. no matter what mistakes our fathers have made, they intended to love us. And when it comes to our Father in heaven, I think this is where we make the biggest mistake. We underestimate, we undervalue, we lower this whole thing of the love that our Father has to us. One of the things when Jesus came, who did he come as? A son, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of the Father. And what is God continually saying about him in front of everybody? There when he was going to be baptized, there came a voice out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son, Luke 9:35. This is my beloved Son. John 3:35, the Father loves the Son, and he's given all things to him. He's expressing his love, and as sons, we are loved. We are loved. That is something that I don't think we can overvalue. John 5:20. The Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he's going to do. You know what? The Father wants to do that with you and I as sons. He wants us to know we're loved. The Scriptures are full of it. I have loved you with an everlasting love. We love him because he first loved us. Our verse in 1 John. Behold what manner of love the Father has put on us that we would be called sons of God. That's amazing love. That's just unfathomable love. Sons are greatly loved. Now, you say, well, that was Jesus. You know what? We're sons too. Bringing many sons to glory. I think that God was showing something to us that he wanted us to understand today when he said who Jesus was and that he was his beloved Son. God looks at all his sons like that. Greatly beloved. Go back in the Old Testament. He joys over us with singing. It's just so many things. God is for us. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. But I would venture to say most of us have some time or other in our lives dealt with the lie that God is against us. God is not against us. He's for us. He is for us. For whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. He's talking about Christ. He's the firstborn of all the sons. Many sons, like we looked at. Whom he did predestinate, he called. Whom he called, he justified. Whom he justified, he glorified. So what are we going to say? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that would be more accurately translated, since God is for us. It's not something indefinite, it's something definite. Since God is for us, who can be against us? You read stories of Christians that endured persecution for years and years and years. the one thing that sustained them through all of that was this truth. God is for me. Who can be against me? I want you to just close your eyes right now. And I want you to stop and think, do I know? I'm not talking about in your head, I'm talking about in your heart. Do I know that God is for me? You need to know that today as His child. He is for us. He is for us. He is for us. He is not against us. And he goes on to explain, so he that didn't even spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things? That, oh my goodness, brothers and sisters, that is huge. That is huge. He's saying, as sons, we are going to be given all of heaven. All the riches, all the blessings, all the resources, all the love, all that we need. And then so Peter comes along and he says, He has given to us. He doesn't say He will give us. He said He has given to us all that we need for life and godliness. He's given it as sons. We have that. That is so important for us to understand. So important for us to grasp. Too many of us are living as slaves. We're living as servants. We're living as paupers. We're living as those that don't have and will never have, when our Father has already given, freely given us all things. What part of all don't you understand? Some of you look like you're not quite sure about all of this. Sonship means a special relationship. There is something that a father will do for his son that he will not do for everyone else. A number of things, actually. But I want you to notice this. Because you are sons. Pay attention to this. Paul is saying this in his letter to the Galatians. Because you are sons. That's the basis of this. Not because you did this or because you did that or didn't do this or didn't do that. It's because you're His sons. That's the basis of Him sending forth His Spirit into our hearts, crying, Daddy, Daddy. Because you're His sons, He sent His Spirit out into your hearts, and that Spirit within us is crying back, Daddy, Daddy. We're loved. We're His sons, and because we're His sons, He gives. You see this over and over and over in Scripture. Because we're His sons, He gives. In the next verse then, you're no more a servant, you're a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir. And again, as I explained about the Roman adoption, that person became an heir when they became a son. And you and I become heirs with Christ. And so Paul, that's so beautiful that I referred to it in the last message there in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 2. He talks about all of this, chapter 1, the middle of the chapter there. He talks about that you may know the riches of your inheritance in Christ Jesus. You are rich today in Jesus Christ. Again, you have to remember, we talk about the realities of up here and realities of down here. Just because we don't see it down here doesn't mean it isn't true up there. Now, we have the old saying, like father, like son. The apple didn't fall far from the tree, all those kind of sayings. Well, you know, Jesus actually verified those when he was here on earth. And that's important. We need to be like our father. If the son sets you free, John 8:34, you'll be free indeed. I know you're Abraham's seed. He's having this discussion with the Pharisees and the scribes. You seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father. And you speak what you've seen with your father. And he goes on and he says, you are of your father, the devil. That's why you're trying to kill me. If you were of my father, you'd love me. Because I'm a son. And you'd be a son. And you'd love me. That has a lot of implications. We're not going to go into all of those, but I want you to think about that. Slaves have masters, not fathers. They have fathers, but you get what I'm saying. This really struck me. Just one morning as I was meditating on these things, the Lord just showed this to me. The three men that were given 1:10, 1:5, 1:1 to take care of while their master was gone. You remember what the guy said that had been given one? What did he say when his master came back and he said, what's going on? I gave you one, that's all that's here. He said, I remembered that you're an austere man. You're this harsh, you're like a tempest. You're harsh. You do all these things and you make us do all these things that you could do yourself, whatever. What mentality did that man have? He had the mentality of a slave. What mentality did the other two servants have? They had the mentality of sons, even though they weren't sons. They had the mentality of sons. They were given something, and they wanted to bless and be a blessing. And I had to think, what mentality do I have? Do I live my life as a son? Or daughter of Jesus Christ, of God the Father? Or do I live like a slave? I have to do this. I have to do that. He's so harsh. He's so unkind. He doesn't care about me. He doesn't have my back. All the lies that the enemy brings to us. Where do we see this? We are adopted sons. We've talked about this already. And as adopted sons, we are heirs with Christ. In Romans 8, you didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You are not slaves. But you received the spirit of adoption. We received this. We didn't reject it. We accepted it. We received the spirit of adoption. And through that, our response is Daddy. Daddy. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And if children of God, then heirs of God. and joint heirs with Christ. You know what a joint heir is? They share in the inheritance, share equally in the inheritance. You and I get exactly what Jesus gets as a son from the Father. Well, we already saw this. He's freely given us all things. What more could he give us? What else is there for him to give? Joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, we'll be glorified together. Paul told us we have two options. We can be led by the Spirit of God, or we can be under the spirit of slavery. The spirit of slavery makes us fearful of punishment. The spirit of adoption leads us as God's children. There's a vast difference between the way sons serve their fathers and the way slaves serve their masters. Slaves may perform duties. Sons perform acts of love. Slaves dutifully obey. Sons gladly obey. Servants are motivated by fear of punishment. Sons are motivated by love of relationship. Slaves ask what is required. Sons ask, what else can I do for you? The spirit of adoption changes us from fearful slaves to joyful sons and daughters. Just some quotes I picked up in my reading. Love is dumped in our laps. Behold, what manner of love the Father has dumped in our laps, bestowed on us, that we are called sons of God. Does that do anything for you today? That you are called a son of God? Let's just stand together. I want us to do something. We haven't done this for a long time. I want us to give a shout praise to God this morning. And I want us to praise him with this, and then you can do whatever else you want. But I want you to praise him with this. I am a son of God. I am adopted. I am accepted. I am loved. All right, you ready? I am a son of God. I am accepted. I am adopted. I am loved. Thank you, Father, for your mercies and your grace that you pour out on us day by day. We bless you. We know that we are unworthy of our own. It's only because you've loved us, because you've made us your sons, that we have this opportunity and we fall at your feet and worship and give you glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You're just